You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool.
After 6 hours of school, I had enough of the day. I hit the radio dial and turned it up all the way.
I got a dance.
With my chick by my side, the radio doesn't
trip. I love to dance.
All right, everybody, it's summertime. It is Beach Boy time. Welcome to tonight's live broadcast of TPC, and we want you to take the Beach Boys' advice and turn the radio dial up all the way. As you tune into this evening's, Oh, that's our kind of stuff. And, you know, there are people who are probably doing that tuned into TPC tonight on the AM and FM dials.
That's not today's California, unfortunately.
No, sure not.
The golden days were there. But actually, when I think of you and the beach, James, I think more of Frankie Avalon and Annette Funicello.
Every year around Memorial Day, on into June and July, I break out those Beach Boys CDs. And, of course, they do seep into the show as well. Good stuff, good music. And welcome to
sits next to the children's plastic pool and imagines he's on Malibu.
Well, just in the spirit of that upbeat, up-tempo song, we have for you a rollicking episode of TPC tonight, during which yours truly and my good friend Keith Alexander are going to be covering tonight, folks. We're going to cover the most incredible collection of headlines you've heard all year. You're going to be astounded. You're going to be stupefied. You're going to be mortified. And that's all.
The world is melting down, folks.
All before the first hour is over. TPC, the stupendous it is. You're not going to believe what we're going to tell you tonight. And that's all just in the first hour. We've got a great show coming for you tonight, ladies and gentlemen. And just a quick update. You know, we talked last week at length in the first hour about this television project. Now, we're not going to give you too many details yet. We do know that it's going to air now in September. We've been taping the last couple of weeks. And that is going well, but since we last talked with you a week ago tonight, we have had another major opportunity with one of the big three networks here in the United States. And we're not going to tell you which one it is, but it is one of the biggest, one of the legacy ones, ABC, NBC, CBS, for a town hall type program that will be aired also in primetime coming soon. So I'll tell you a little bit more about that in the second hour. Really exciting stuff. I think we may be doing more in media right now this month than at any time, at any one time, rather, at any point in TPC's history. So we're really riding a crest right now. Your support makes it possible. We're going to give you a little more information about that in the second hour. A lot going on behind the scenes you should be excited about, ladies and gentlemen, because you have placed us at the tip of that spear, and we are serving as your voice, and we're making very, very, very big advancements. So that being said, let's get to the news. We do have a lot of news to cover this hour, and not a moment to spare. The Virginia Beach shooter, Keith. Now, this, too, is something that we talked about last week. So we know that this African-American fellow, if you will, went out and he shot 12 people in Virginia Beach. And we had already figured out by this point last week that it was an affirmative action hire who was basically just he fell victim to his poor impulse control after he had been relieved of his position. And he went postal and he killed 12 people, non-whites among them.
And he probably lost his job because he wasn't up to par, again, which falls right in with being an affirmative action hire.
But here's what has been interesting. The interesting development about this, let me pull it up here at our computer here in the studio. The interesting thing about it since last week is that the media has done an about-face on how they choose to report these mass shootings. Listen to this from MSN.com. This is from one of the biggest network organs in the country. Virginia Beach shines light on victims, not mass shooter. Virginia Beach, Virginia officials have been focusing more on the 12 victims of Friday's shooting than the shooter in hopes that the less exposure of the crime, the less likely copycats will follow. So this, the media now, Keith, has taken this tack. Aren't they so noble? And what a hell of a coincidence it is that the shooter just happened to be black when this new standard was applied by the establishment press.
Yeah, but wait until the next Dylan Roof comes along, and then suddenly they'll do an abrupt about face, and they'll have some excuse for that too. But you know, this is so disingenuous. That media narrative we had, we just need to trot that out again and put it back on the website. You know, when the shooter is a non-white and the victim is white, the problem is gun control. We don't have gun control in America. When the shooter is white and the victim is non-white, the problem is racism or the Confederate flag. And if the shooter is non-white and the victim is non-white, skip the story altogether and run a story about the Kardashians instead. That's it. They're still following the same old template as far as I'm concerned.
Here it is. So we have the high and mighty and noble and just establishment-controlled press, and they're following the lead of the Virginia Beach, Virginia officials, and they're not going to make mention of the person's name. They're not going to show his face because, you know, to do that would be in poor taste. We need to be remembering the victims. I'm all fine with that. But like you said, Keith, the next time, God forbid, that a white person commits a heinous act like this, I have a feeling that standard isn't going to apply anymore. And we look, not only is that not the standard that they have used in the very rare cases in which whites do commit acts of mass murder, not only do they plaster the white man's name and face, not just in the story, but in the very headline. And it's his face and his name will be everywhere. But much more than that, conveniently, in these cases, the white perpetrator leaves a 5,000-word manifesto on his bed every time, along with his laptop open, logged into the Council of Conservative Citizens website or something like that, or so we're told. You know, but the fact of the matter is, I never did see Dylan Roof's web history. We're taking the media's word that he ever even went to the council's website, which is probably untrue. But, you know, so again, they don't apply that standard when the roles, the races are reversed. They use the guy's name. They use his face. And he has a manifesto in his favorite places, and it all fits perfectly into the narrative. I guess that's just a coincidence.
Yeah, they're just looking for an excuse not to report a black shooter of 9 out of 12 victims being white in Virginia Beach, a typical government employee who doesn't want to be troubled with concepts like productivity and profitability, can't cut the mustard because he's an affirmative action hire, loses his job at age 40. He probably had it 10 years too long anyway, and then goes postal. This is, you know, how many times has this been replayed? And how many times does the media pretend to be mystified as to what his motives might have been?
Yeah, we never did even dig into what this guy's motive might have been, even though, what,
no, 80%,
80% of his victims were white, but, you know, that could have been just the way it panned
out.
Yeah,
that's it. That's not important, you know. Well, let's run past that, and let's also not look into his motivation. His motivation is that he lost a job that he thought he couldn't lose because it was a government job. And this, you know, this follows a well-known pattern, folks. Sorry to tell you that, but that's the truth of the matter.
We're just getting started. It's going to be a raucous first hour here in TPC. I wish you could see my notes. I wish you knew what was coming this hour, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to have some fun. We're going to laugh. We're going to cry. And then we're going to cheer in the second hour when I tell you what all TPC's up to behind the scenes. A range of emotions coming your way. Stay tuned.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool.
It's always fun when you are blasting the radio and listening to TPC. Now, that is truly why I picked those two songs. They mentioned the words radio, turning it up and blasting it out, and that's what we want you to do every Saturday night. But also, they're great songs, and it is summertime.
Well, I was asking James why he didn't pick the greatest surf song of all time, Surf City.
Well, because we ain't surfers. We are radio men, and that's... But I'll tell you, you know it's summertime when you melt, when you go out to check the mail, and that's what's happening here in Memphis now. But I'll tell you something else. The Beach Boys made it easy for you to remember your favorite songs. So what have we heard tonight? We've heard Dance, 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 and Fun, Fun, Fun. I mean, that's good marketing.
But Brian Wilson wrote Surf City, and that was his best song, and his father, who was their manager, almost went ballistic when he found out that he had dealt it off to his friends Jan and Dean. But Surf City... You got to love two girls for every boy now.
That
was every 12-year-old boy's dream back then when I was a kid.
Well, I'll tell you, Brian Wilson's dad shouldn't be too upset. The Beach Boys turned out okay, I think. And actually are still out there touring. I don't know if Jen and Dean are. But anyway, so we were talking in that last segment about the Virginia Beach shooter and the nobility of the media, not to mention his name or show his face. Well, here's another story that ties into that. So last weekend, which is, of course, when the shooting took place, President Trump made an impromptu stop into a Southern Baptist church in McLean, Virginia. Now, if you know the Washington, D.C. area, Northern Virginia, McLean is very near Washington, D.C. Pat Buchanan lives there. But in any event, it was an unscheduled stop. So not even the pastor of the church knew that the president was going to be coming in. I think he may have found out literally a minute or two before Trump came in. And so Donald Trump comes into this church, and he says he wanted to come into this church to pray for the victims of the Virginia Beach shooter, which is, of course, you know, a nice thing to do. And the pastor of the church brought President Trump up to the pulpit, and he said a very boilerplate, generic prayer. Basically, the same prayer we hear every week in church. Dear Lord, please lead, guide, and direct our president, so on and so forth. Amen. Not political at all. And in fact, pretty much every church says we need to pray for our leaders. We need to pray for our enemies. And in this case, you know, the president of the United States comes into your church. You say a generic prayer. Everybody's on their way.
Now, he no probably is enemy of the Southern Baptist Convention.
Well, of course, Russell Moore came out very hard against Donald Trump back in 2016, as we know. And anyway, not a big deal, right? No big deal. Well, a handful of people, it couldn't have been more than that, because you can say anything you want about the Southern Baptist Convention, and it'll all be probably not hard enough on them. But the people who actually go to these churches are relatively good people and relatively conservative Southern people, good people. And but anyway, a couple of those members of that particular church took issue with the fact that the man, the pastor, would say a prayer asking for God's guidance and leadership over the president. And this pastor, I mean, he got down on his knees like you wouldn't believe. And he offered the most cowardly apology. I mean, it really is up there. And all of the apologies.
What has happened to manhood in the Southern Baptist Convention, James?
So this pastor literally apologized to his church and to the media for praying for the president. This is a perfect example of what kind of men are leading the Southern Baptist Convention. Weak, effeminate, cowardly. And this guy was one of the directors of the International Missions Board, which is the missionary arm of the Southern Baptist Convention. Very vital organ to the... So he's very high up in the ranks and apologizing for praying for the president. That's
well,
all right.
Well, he knows that J.D. Greaser, or whatever his name is, the current Southern Baptist Pope, is very anti-traditionalism, anti-traditional Christian, anti-Donald Trump, anti-anything conservative. So I guess he's just falling into line, but this is really pathetic. You know, I remember, look, every Sunday in the church that I go to, we say, O Lord, our governor, whose glory is in all the world, grant to Donald, the president of the United States, and to all in authority, wisdom and strength to know and to do thy will. And this we pray for in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Okay? You know, that's the type of prayer, at least a Southern, that would be the Anglican version. He did something like that in the Southern Baptist version. And then he's groveling about giving that type of, as James called it, a boilerplate prayer that almost everybody, every church that I know of has a similar prayer that they pray every week. I remember we prayed it to Obama when Obama was the president.
And let me tell you something. Right here in Memphis, Tennessee, when Obama was the president of the Southern Baptist Convention, Steve Gaines, he prayed for Obama like he was praying for his dying mother every week. So I don't know if anybody complained about that. And if he did, he sure as hell wouldn't have given him an apology. But you told me an interesting story, Keith, about the current president of the Southern Baptist Convention, J.D. Greer. So they've done everything they can to embarrass themselves and trim their sails to have the church fit with what society's standards are. And the immoral,
culturally correct.
The immoral, degenerate agenda of society. They've done everything they can, and it hasn't been enough. You said even now the Southern Baptist Convention is under attack again. Didn't J.D. Greer, the current president, come into the area recently? What was going on with that?
Well, you know, you catch me a little bit flat-footed on this.
No, you told me at dinner the other day that it was a Me Too type of problem.
Oh, yeah, right. They have they've been trying their best to, you know, appease the Moloch of the current cultural standards like Me Too, but guess what? All of that goes to naught. They're still guilty as charged, and they are sinners in the hand of an angry, politically correct God, not the real God. So now they are coming after them about all these so-called Baptist preachers that were going after children and whatnot, going after young girls, going after old women, going after, you know, that had apparently some type of sexual proclivity that wasn't kosher. And now they just can't seem to squirm out from under all this. See, this is the African proverb of the crocodile feeder. Why would a man feed a crocodile? Because he wants to be eaten last. Well, because you're feeding them, you get on his radar, and you're likely, rather than to be the last one eaten, the first one eaten. Well, this is what's happening to the Southern Baptist Convention. All of their mauling and pussyfooting and, begging for forgiveness, falling down on their knees, what is that getting them? That's just getting the crocodile's attention, and the crocodile is coming for you, J.D.
So now it's not you know, thank you so much for all the things you've done against white people. We're not going to call you racist anymore. No, there's no thanks. There's no absolution. It's just, you know, what haven't you done for us? And you haven't put all women into your pulpits yet, so therefore you're against the Me Too movement. We're going to attack you for that.
Where are your homosexual preachers? You know, and we want to see proof right up there that they are homosexual.
Well, right? And people are probably saying, guys, you know, you talk about the Southern Baptist Convention a lot. Well, we do, because that was at least the denomination.
They were the last citadel to fall. See, my church fell in the 60s. And so many other mainline Protestant churches have fallen. The Roman Catholic churches have fallen. And I know that James and Eddie, in particular in the past, have thought that somehow all of this was going to pass over like the Passover angel and, avoid landing on the Southern Baptists. And I always told them, what makes you think the devil has forgotten your denomination? Well, he hadn't. And now they're going after the Southern Baptists, hammer and tongs, the Southern Baptists are, setting new standards of politically correct groveling, and it's doing them no good whatsoever.
Well,
there's a lesson to be learned
there,
folks.
It's tearing the church apart. The baptisms and the membership are plummeting more and more and more every year. But, of course, you know the saga last year with my whole church being thrown out of the Southern Baptist Convention because my pastor wouldn't roll over on me. But the reason we bring it up tonight is because of the Trump visiting a Southern Baptist church and then the pastor apologizing for that visit. And praying for him. So we'll get off of that. I'm going to tell you the funniest story I've heard in years next.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
President Trump is claiming victory after Washington and Mexico agreed on measures to stem the flow of Central American migrants into the United States. He called off plans to impose a 5% tax on Mexican exports. In a joint declaration, Mexico agreed to increase its enforcement efforts along their southern border with Guatemala. Jared Pachenko is president of the Border Industrial Association. He says, a lot of border businesses are still rattled by the tariff threat, so they aren't expanding.
The mindset here is we got to kind of wade this out and see what happens, as opposed to, hey, the economy's good, our company is doing well, we're producing a lot of products, we're increasing our production, we need more U.S. workers. Now the sentiment seems to be, whoa, let's just kind of hold off here.
Mexico's president is calling for a gathering to celebrate. This is USA Radio News.
Do you wish you could get better sleep and maybe lose a few pounds? Maybe more than a few pounds? Well, there's this product called Calitrin that helps with both sleep and weight loss. Just listen to what people are saying about it.
I've been taking Calitrin for right about 3 months, and I've lost 24 pounds and 19 overall inches. But my sleep has improved, I have so much more energy, and I have the desire to succeed more than ever. Anyone who needs weight loss, more energy, and better sleep, this product really does deliver.
Hi, I'm Roger. Over the 3 months that I took the product, my sleeping habits are increasingly much better. I got a better night's sleep, and I just can't say enough about the product and how it makes you feel. Also, additionally lost a little bit of weight on the program as well.
Hi, this is Erickson. I take Calitrin for weight loss, and I've lost about 20 pounds, and I feel great.
Calitrin is scientifically proven to help with sleep and weight loss safely and effectively. Check it out at toploss.com. That's toploss.com.
Detroit police have detained a person of interest in a serial killer case. Cops throughout the city have been going door-to-door, searching abandoned houses for possible victims. WWJ reporter Rob Mason.
Investigators believe D'Angelo Martin may know something about the grisly murders of three women whose bodies were discovered in vacant homes on the city's east side. Police Chief James Craig.
He's a 34-year-old black male. He's known to be homeless. He's known to frequent the east side of Detroit.
All three victims were in their late 40s or early 50s.
Special Envoy Angelina Jolie of the UN High Commission for Refugees has visited Venezuelans living in refugee camps along the border with Colombia. There are reports that 4 million people have fled economic, political, and humanitarian problems in that country.
4 million people now from Venezuela who have had to leave the country, and the country and the situation inside is so serious.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, I told you before the last commercial break that I'm going to share with you now the funniest story. I was on the floor when he told me this over the phone a couple of days ago. And it ties into what we're talking about now with the church, and then we're going to move on to some other topics. We're turning up the heat tonight on TPC, and I'm already sweating, so if it gets any bigger than this, but we haven't even reached the crescendo of this hour. There's still more outrageous stuff to come. I was talking to Sam Dixon the other day. I guess it was Wednesday. And we talked for about an hour, and it was a wide-ranging conversation, but we got on the topic of the church, and he said he had had dinner with one of his friends who was a Southern Baptist, and he said, you know, how can you still be a Southern Baptist after what they did to James Edwards? And they had this conversation. And anyway, Sam told me a story. He said, but don't feel too bad about it, James, because let me tell you, the Southern Baptists, as bad as they are, they could still be worse. And let me tell you what's going on in the Presbyterian church. Sam is a cradle Presbyterian. He said he was traveling recently and stopped into the Presbyterian church of the town he was in, the city he was in. And the first thing that was a big strike was, he said, instead of a pastor, they had a priestess. He used the word priestess, who delivered the sermon. And he said, James, I kid you not, for an hour, she touched on everything that the establishment wants people to denounce.
White people in particular.
And he said, she preached for an hour about the sin of racism, the sin of homophobia, the sin of xenophobia, the sin of anti-Semitism,
the sin of heterosexuality.
And she said that she paused while she was talking about anti-Semitism, Sam told me, and said that Jews are better Christians than Christians. She said, and then
sounds like John Hagee.
To illustrate the point, she said that she was using one of these synagogue shootings as an example, and she said that the rabbi tried to administer first aid to the shooter, and she said that that really showed Christ's love for his fellow man, because she didn't have enough love in her heart to administer first aid to an anti-Semite, and that furthermore, she hated members of the alt-right, and that members of the alt-right were not welcome at her church. And so on and so forth, he said, for an hour. I said, come on, Sam. He said, if I'm doing anything, I'm not giving you the full extent. And then he said at the end of the thing, he said there was one moment where he thought he might be able to leave there with his blood pressure intact. And he heard the organ fire up for the recessional hymn. And he said this was a hymn he remembered from his childhood. It was a beautiful hymn. And he opened up the hymnal and he turned to the page and they had rewritten the lyrics.
The politically correct version of God of Our Fathers.
He told
something.
Me the name of the song, and he even sang it a little bit over the phone. And he said they had rewritten the lyrics to talk about racism, of course. And he said that he was about to pop. And then the whole thing was over. And you know how it is at churches. You line up and you shake the hand of the pastor, or in this case, the priestess. And he waited his turn in line, and he went
Pastorette.
Up. And he shook her hand, and she said, oh, hello, I haven't seen you around here before. Are you visiting? And he said, no, I'm just passing through, and you're not likely to see me again because you hate me, and you told me I'm unwelcome here. You see, I am a member of the alt-right, and in fact, I'm a mentor to most of the alt-right, and I just want you to know that I hate you too. He said, this is the funny part. He said, James, it was the spookiest thing I've ever seen. He said, as soon as I said that, I figured she would yell at me or tell me to get out. He said, Her eyes closed, and she turned stiff as a board. He said her hand turned to stone. She mummified herself. And he had to wrestle to get his hand away from her. She just stood there. And then he walked away a couple of feet, and he looked back as the rest of the line, the greeting line, was walking past her, and she was still in this catatonic state.
Probably having some cardiac event.
And then she just stayed there like she was a mummy. And when he told the story maybe better than I can retell it, but when he told me that, I fell to I got down on my knees laughing. And he said he had to go to Home Depot for an hour just to kind of walk around.
Decompress.
He told me he has to stop going to church before it turns him into an atheist. But anyway, that's what's going on.
I tell you what, like Mae West said, a good man is hard to find. I tell you, today, Sam Dixon, James Edwards, and Keith Alexander are here to tell you a good church is hard to find.
So anybody that knows Sam, call him and tell him to tell you that story, and you'll get a good one. Anyway, well, it's not to say that what's going on in the world isn't worse than what's going on in the churches, because there's this new great thing that white women can pay for. It's a service they can pay for, and it's being promoted all over the establishment press. It's called Race to Dinner. The number 2 dinner, I believe it's .com or .org. You can check it out, Race to Dinner. And what you can do, if you go to this website, it is the most insulting thing I can remember reading. It said, we're not here to make white women feel as though they're allies. We're not here to make them comfortable. We are here to shame them. And what you can do.
So glad they're doing that.
Listen to this. White women pay an appearance fee for these two black women to come to their home. And so presumably they pay their appearance fee plus their travel and accommodations for these black women to come into their home, sit at their table, join them for dinner and eat their food. And while it's going on, the black women curse them and and tell them that white women are the reason for slavery. White women are the reason for white supremacy because they never did pull their men in line. So you pay for this service, and it's getting
What a service.
Mainstream media publicity, Race to Dinner. You pay these two white-hating black women to come to your house, eat your food, and cuss at you and shout at you for an hour, and then they leave.
Well,
somebody, presumably Keith, must be paying for it, or they would be out of business already.
Look, I've got a great idea for Father's Day or for Mother's Day or for some special day on a Sunday. First, go to the church that Sam attended to hear the priestess and her politically correct denunciations of you and your unworthiness to live. Then go home for Sunday dinner where you have these two race for dinner people come over there and castigate you some more. If you don't get a heaping helping of abuse from that, then, you know.
You can just go to a Southern Baptist church after that.
Then you just tune in Bellevue Baptist, I guess.
So this is what's going on in our churches. This is what's going on at our dinner tables. You know, guess who's coming to dinner? It's all new. They could make a sequel to that movie now.
You got the white priestess on one side and the two black harridans on the other.
What would you have done if you'd have saw that woman mummify herself and say, I told Sam, if I'd have been behind you in line, I would have lost my lunch.
Well,
I would have died.
Sam should have stayed around. She probably croaked, you know, based on what I know.
Well, Sam may have a murder warrant out that he doesn't know about yet. I just loved it. He said, I am a member of the alt right, and I want you to know that I hate you too. Anyway. Race to Dinner. You want to call them over? You know, we were going to have a dinner at your house this weekend that got canceled. We could just fire it up. Keith has his own chef that comes over with his Irish wolfhound, and the wolfhound actually cooks the food. It's the most incredible thing you've ever seen. But
we've never had the Race to Dinner pair twins or the priestess from Sam's Presbyterian church that he happened
well,
into.
Well, I guess the priestess is the perfect example of the type of woman who would actually pay for a service like this.
Well, exactly. That's what I was thinking, too. She's probably set up with them. Yeah.
Diamond and Silk.
Yeah, Diamond and Silk are the two Race for Dinner. No. Yeah, that's right. It'll be like a tag team wrestling match.
Yeah, we're getting all this mainstream media attention right now. This I could pitch this as a like a series. This could be a new show.
It really could. It could be a reality show. Let's look into it.
So anyway, that's what's going on. And if you can believe it, folks.
I tell you what, I've got a great show. We can have a sumo wrestling match between Steve Gaines and Madea.
Now, folks, if you can believe it, you've heard a lot this hour. I haven't even gotten to the most egregious story of the hour yet. And we're only 1 hour in to the 3 hours of tonight's show. We're going to kill you before the show's over. But the most egregious topic that I have to share with you this hour has not even been covered yet. And that's saying something when you take into account what we've covered. The media's newfound nobility and not sharing with the public the shooter's name or face, the SBC pastor who apologized for praying for Trump, Sam Dixon story, race to dinner. I mean, it's been a full show already.
What is happening to the world, James? I mean, is the planet disintegrating right out in front of us?
Hey, I'll tell you what, Keith. We give sanity an oasis here every 3 hours, and our audience is welcome to join us in that
big
oasis.
Big Sahara Desert around us, though.
Touche, my friend. We'll be right back.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen. By a friend of Medjugorje, whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, It Ain't Gonna Happen, a book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled MEJ.com, or call Caritas in the U.S., 205-672-2000, 205-672-2000.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly. But I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Want to give a huge shout out right now to Logan in Chesterfield, Virginia. Logan, thank you so much. He is one of our heroes here, responsible for the good work of TPC, and not just the work that we do here on the AM/FM radio. I mean, that alone, God knows. I mean, it's the only mainstream media entity the pro-white movement has, I guess you could say, here at Liberty News Radio. That alone is worthy of the support. But what we're doing outside of the studio right now, truly in our 15th year, there are things going on right now behind the scenes that we're a part of in real time and ongoing that in all of the press we've gotten over all these years, I don't know if we've ever had two overlapping media appearances that are being taped that are going to reach millions of people. I mean, we're talking about two of the biggest networks in the world simultaneously involved in projects with this radio program. So that's a first, and it's people like Logan and all of you who, and you know who you are, who contribute to this show that make that voice possible, and we love you. I was talking on the phone with David in Texas. He's another guy that's a monthly contributor. I mean, there's so many. If we start naming names, we're going to forget, you know, dozens and dozens and dozens and, you know, hundreds even. So we'll just leave it at that. But you know who you are, and those of you who donate monthly, who donate maybe once or twice a year sporadically, those who donate quarterly with our quarterly fundraising drives, and we're currently engaged in a doozy of one right now because of what the incentive is. We'll remind you of that in the second hour. You're responsible for it all. You're responsible for it all. We are just the stewards of your voice. We are your servants, and we're able to do these things that we're doing because you bring life to our activism. Thank you, Logan. Thank you, everyone. Now, I told you, Keith, I had saved the most shocking and most horrific story for last.
Better get the CPR out.
Yeah. No, maybe we should save it for the second hour. You're not even going to believe this. You're going to think this is a headline from The Onion. You're going to think I'm pulling your leg on this one. But I'm not.
Unfortunately.
Oregon, the state of Oregon, just passed a law that will fine white people $250 for calling 911 on a non-white suspect. Do you believe that, Keith?
I mean, this is the craziest thing I've ever heard of. But white people in Oregon, they all belong to Jim Jones's cult, and they're drinking the Kool-Aid, I tell you. It's...
Well, the good news for white people in Oregon is that there are only 10 blacks in the whole state, and they all live in Portland. So if you get out of there, and they're on the Trailblazers.
But if you Jailblazers, as I used to call them.
Well, not the Jailblazers anymore, but in any event, they all play for the basketball team, and they're not likely to commit the crimes. But anyway, but no, this is the headline. This is the headline.
These people are on the cutting edge of political correctness, folks. I mean, I'd heard about the people that felt guilt about calling 911 on a black suspect, but now they have criminalized doing that. So I guess you just sit there and take it, and as you have, with your dying breath, you can thank people generally that you at least didn't incur that $200 fine for calling 911. Right before you were stabbed to death, for example.
Here's the headline, Keith, as it reads in your establishment press, your controlled press, if you will. Oregon Senate passes bill punishing racist 911 callers. Now, I'm going to read that headline again for effect. Oregon Senate passes bill punishing racist 911 callers. The bill allows victims of these calls to sue the caller for as much as $250. Now, if someone called 911 on me in error and it turns out that I wasn't doing anything illegal and it was just a mistake, I mean, I'd probably be a little bit miffed. I'd probably be a little bit inconvenienced. But, you know, mistakes happen. And this is all spearheaded by a black legislator in Oregon who had 911 called on her erroneously, and it damaged her for life. You got to understand, Keith, this damaged her to the core. I mean, she needed therapy. I mean, it was just a terrible thing.
Just like Madea.
And so this was her life's work, was to get this bill passed. And, of course, it passed with near unanimous bipartisan support. I mean, the Republicans in Oregon couldn't trip over themselves quickly enough to sign on to this nonsensical law. But what I want to know is, So let's just say you're a white person and you come about.
They reacted almost as quickly as the Democratic field of potential presidential candidates would have.
You are a white person in Oregon, and you come across after this bill is signed into law by the governor, which it's absolutely going to be. You're a white person in Oregon, and you come across, oh, let's just say, a black man robbing a liquor store, and you call 911. And then the cops show up, and the black guy goes, well, he didn't call 911 on me because I was robbing the liquor store. He called 911 on me because I was black. Now, does the cop decide on the spot that you're guilty of this crime and you get fined the $250? Does it actually have to go to before a judge and tie up the courts over? Do you take something for $250 judgment to? Well, actually, this could be a good thing.
Well, my legal expertise is needed here. I can tell.
It could slow down the courts, though, with some of this stuff, so they couldn't do the more heinous things that they do. But I mean, who adjudicates? Who determines if the call was based on?
Well, that's not
racism.
That's not an issue. That's not an issue based on the way this law is written, as you described it to me. Basically, he could be totally correct. The guy is holding up the liquor store, and he could be found guilty of armed robbery. But on the other hand, because a white person called in to 911, the black perpetrator can bring a civil suit against him and recover up to $250. It says nothing about whether or not the 911 call is true or false. Yeah, it's basically, you just, if you make a phone call, you can say this guy is murdering or raping someone, and they could actually be murdering and raping someone. But if you're white and the perp is black, you can be held responsible for up to $250 in a court of law in Oregon. The people in Oregon have lost their ever-loving minds. What is it about the left coast? I mean, these people are...
we just got one of our super listeners, Todd, right here in Memphis. He said, James, be quiet. You're going to give the mayor of Memphis bad ideas.
Joe Biden, I'm sure, is all down with this. You know, what was it that he basically came out? I think he's come out now in favor of killing all white people or something. You know,
well, I mean, what do we do? I mean, is there a tribunal that's assembled to determine if the 911 caller is, in fact, a racist? How do they make that determination?
No, you're going to go to the court system, and, you know, the court system is increasingly staffed with minority judges.
And what's the victim going to do with $250 when he's in jail for robbing a liquor store?
Well, he's going to wait around. He's going to go through some neighborhood acting suspicious, hoping that he can get more white people.
What
to call
lawyer would even push the paperwork around for a judgment the possible fine is $250?
What scares me is the potential for a class action lawsuit.
Well,
like
what scares me is the fact that this is going to put a damper on white people calling 911 when they see a non-white committing a crime, and then what do you do?
And they can claim, rather than not doing their civic duty, that they were just being good, racially aware, sensitive people by not calling 911.
You know, I saw the guy raping the lady, but, you know, it'd have been racist for me to call him on it. So
yeah, I tried not to draw conclusions based on the fact that he was a black guy.
This is what's going on.
Right, maybe this is a culturally correct form of courtship.
Let me tell you that there was an article that came out recently, and it talked about how eerie it was that so many of Orwell's predictions in 1984, George Orwell's predictions, have come true. I mean, the things that would have been absolutely impossible to even comprehend when he wrote the book, all of these things, he was a prophet. He was like Nostradamus.
2 minute hates, you know, we have to see these all the time now.
Well, let me, this bill out of
James suffered a 2 minute hate. I've suffered 2 minute hates in the media. This is
2 minutes. I thought it was 15 years.
Yeah, you got hard labor.
But anyway, hey, that bill out of Oregon is the damnedest thing I may have seen in my career. I'm telling you, and we've seen a lot, God knows. But, you know, look it up for yourself. Oregon Senate passes bill punishing racist 911 callers.
I tell you what it is. It's like throwing a hush puppy to a pack of howling dogs. That's what it is. That's what they're throwing a hush puppy to the hordes of politically correct, angry minorities by doing
I didn't know
this.
Dogs ate hush puppies.
Yeah, that's what the purpose was, is to make them hush, stop barking.
Oh, I see. That's good. All right. Well, let's end this hour on a more positive note. On this day in 1845, the last...
Yeah, we have to go back to 1845 to find something positive to report on.
That's the truth. Even though this isn't positive, but it is a man that was worth mentioning. On this day in 1845, President Andrew Jackson died. The last American president, as far as I'm concerned, at least the last good one.
No, James K. Polk. Now.
All right. K. Polk.
Tennessee had three great presidents. And, you know, the one who gets the least credit of all is Andrew Johnson. He was not a secessionist. He was from East Tennessee, a tailor. He basically had a chip on his shoulder about the plantation culture down there. But when the radical Republicans got in charge after Lincoln's assassination, he said, not on my watch. We're not going to allow this radical agenda to go in. And he took on the whole Congress and came within one vote of being removed. He had guts, folks.
Don't move to Oregon, but do stay tuned. We'll be right back.
But don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.